Your website is the mousetrap. Your content is the cheese. Welcome to Content Matters with Barry Feldman and Andy Crestadina.
A quick search on LinkedIn shows 673,000 people who have storytelling in their bio. That's a lot. It's a big thing. It's a huge topic. And so many content marketers talk about storytelling. Yep. So what is it? What does it mean? How do you do it? Why is this such a thing? Harry, tell us about storytelling.
Well, it's a pretty big subject, but I was thinking, you know, what you said about LinkedIn was maybe that they're out of work journalists, right? Didn't journalism sort of take a crap, you know? Publishing's changed, it's gone digital, so everybody's a storyteller, and I think marketers consider that the ability to tell stories is, part and parcel with the ability to connect with people.
I get that. And storytelling is effective for a few reasons. Popular format for content. Now I've got a counterintuitive view on this, but real quick, give us the high level. Why do stories connect?
Well, I don't know. The cavemen made pictograms, so to speak, on the walls of the caves, and we passed down things through literature and songs and. And now the internet makes it easier to tell our stories. And so I think in general, we're humans and we market now more from a human to human level than a brand to buyer level. And so we're looking for characters and people and resolutions and so forth. So the elements of storytelling are all important, and those that are good at it probably stand the chance to create the type of content that compels people to sign up, come back for more, tell their friends. But, we're having this episode because of, at least partially because of your counter position here, because Orbit Media Studios is one of millions, I suppose, of blogs that specializes in delivering lessons. And so, you're not in the business of storytelling, so you go for it now.
Yeah. This is I feel like it's sacrilege when I say this because I'm a part of the content marketing community, and there are so many people in that community who have made storytelling the center of their philosophy and their teaching and what they do and how they talk about it. I'm going to make the case now that a brand can be totally successful without telling almost any stories. Because your content is more about answering questions and giving instructions and how-to information. So the counterposition to storytelling being the end-all be-all format for content is that you can have an extremely successful lead generation program with virtually no storytelling whatsoever in your content marketing content. Simply by giving information away that answers questions for people, that's the kind of content that's going to tend to do well as evergreen, right? Because these are information like this tends not to go out of style. Although storytelling stories are durable as well. It's going to be content that's search friendly. How to question answering content gets searched for all the time. It's going to be content that is thought leadership or demonstrates expertise. You may not be inspiring or emotional in your content, but there's a lot of industries that like target like engineers or relatively dry topics or people that are just looking for best practices. And you can do all those things without telling any stories. I swear this might sound crazy. It might be an exaggeration, but I think I can count on one hand the number of stories I've told in my career as a marketer. I mean, it's really not a lot. So
yeah, well, I think storytelling, often becomes a kind of a first person, second person thing. And so, whether our audience knows it or not, you got married kind of recently, and you became a father kind of recently, and that's not important to your readers, right? I mean, it's mm-hmm. important to your friends, it's important to your family, it's important to you, obviously, but that's not on your blog. You sit there mm-hmm. and think, how can I publish stuff either authored by me or awesome contributors like Barry mm-hmm. that help people understand how to do stuff. So I think you're certainly not making a controversial case that you can, you know, kick ass in content marketing with or without storytelling. And so, you know, it's just another angle for those that are, you know, journalists and, you know, maybe they moved over from the fiction world. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of comedians now that are making their living in content marketing, and their angle is, oh, you need me because I'm a great storyteller. And so they're not necessarily wrong.
Right, right. Now, having said that, I want to qualify and come back because I do believe in the magic of stories and the hero journey and the caveman and campfire. And I love stories, of course. I read stories, fiction, nonfiction, and biographies and all this stuff, right? It's great stuff. But and there are places where we probably all should tell stories. It'd be a gap if we didn't. And I'm going to jump in with one of the examples of that. The About page on your website, and this is probably universally true, really should tee up the reason the company exists in a format that looks a lot like a story, because there's conflict, there's characters, there's change, there's before and after states, there are you know, heroes and villains. So there's a time and place for it, and the origin / passion / purpose story is an important thing to put somewhere, and that probably needs to go on an About page, and that probably is true of basically every company, perhaps.
Yeah, amen. I mean, I think one of the many posts I've written for Orbit is about the making of a good About page. Mm-hmm. And Orbit has a cool one. It allows everybody that works for you to tell their story in, you know, a biographical way, and why they work there and why they love the work. And so, yeah, that's a copywriting nightmare, the About page. You know, if you write a sales page there, you know, I suppose it's not out of bounds, but there are other places to put your sales pages, and your About page is probably more interesting if it makes a human connection. And so I'm with you all the way on that. I think one of the things that makes it so that we're actually having a conversation about why stories are good or bad, or you know, like pumped up to the degree that they're really not as important as everybody says they are, is the definition of storytelling. You know, what is the definition of storytelling? If you take it in a classic sense and you go, okay, my blog is going to start off with once upon a times, and it's going to end with, you know, happily ever afters. Now, those are stories, but that's, you know, that's not going to play very well in the B2B space.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. And some of this does get into a distinction between companies that target businesses and companies that target consumers. But regardless, there are, and you listed a few here before we jumped on, elements of stories that are effective and useful elements to use throughout content, maybe, right? Like conflict, like antagonists, like resolution, case studies, right? The classic format for a case study is problem, solution, result.
Right.
So how do stories and where do stories work their way into our marketing in ways that can move the needle?
Well, I mean, I think lots of ways, but they generally involve people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we do a better job with our content when we talk about people. And so, yeah, so I think you have a hero, and the hero could be a person, or it could be a product, or it could be, you know, an event, or even, you know, in an odd kind of way, maybe even a piece of content, you know, something that you saw or read or watched. But the classic storytelling introduces characters, and it's not long. Like I took courses on film writing or screenwriting, and typically they're 90 minutes long, and at about 20 or 30 minutes you go, oh, it's this against this, you know, there's a conflict, and the next hour that conflict is duked out, and down the home stretch that conflict is resolved. And I think that's a very fundamental piece of writing, even for a how-to piece. And so if you are writing a ebook or a blog post, mm-hmm. you know, the antagonist is not necessarily the Joker. The antagonist is a problem.
Yeah, and I've talked to people who sort of qualify and soften their language on their websites, and I look at their site, and they sort of like, yeah, you know, we take things that aren't so good and we make them a little better. I think there's a problem in copyright and in market positioning in some cases where people don't really make the villain evil enough, like amplifying the bad guy, right? I think that's important to say that you're solving big problems for people and that there's people in it is another thing, right? It's to add characters. These are elements of stories that are just powerful psychologically that we sort of need to be included in formats for content and messaging throughout, even if it's not technically a story.
Yeah, I think so. And so therefore, there's some justification for why so many people introduce the word storytelling. So you have an issue, and the issue is you're doing something the hard way. I'm looking at, let's say we're talking about FreshBooks.
Mm-hmm.
Write bills manually, or you type them up in, I don't know, QuickBooks, mm-hmm. or, you know, Quick in some sort of ledger, some sort of way that you used to do things. And so Mr. Reader, are the antagonist in this story. And the protagonist is the old way, the difficult way, the ineffective way, the inefficient way, the expensive way. And so yeah, you can simply tell the story of overcoming obstacles in marketing in many ways and in many media types, such as blog posts, mm-hmm. sales pages, or emails, or videos, or what have you. And so, yeah, the antagonist can often be something as simple as the problem, like I said before. And I think, that applies to a lot of different instances. So I think, you're not out of bounds by sort of simply just adapting storytelling ideas, even if it doesn't have the, the Shrek, mm-hmm. Shrek components.
Yeah. I think that there are websites, there are homepages. There's all kinds of sales pages that have the outcome and the resolution all over the place. Like, five examples and testimonials. Oh, life is so easy now. And oh, I can process payroll so quickly. And like, oh, things are so great. Without having stated the problem clearly enough or emotionally enough or naming that antagonist.
Yeah, I'm so heavily entrenched in SaaS marketing now, and I'm writing a couple of homepages for a couple of SaaS companies, and I'm researching those that I think are great, and I always follow the lead of CoSchedule when I can, because I'm friends with the people there, and I love what they do, and they test everything they do, and they, I think you and I would agree they know what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And so on their homepage, hopefully this won't change before people hear this. One of the first rows you see is like, here's the hard way. And it's this little animation, So you go, oh, okay, bad guy,
Right.
And here's
right.
how CoSchedule works. Oh, hero.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's setting up the conflict, and you're not using elements of stories, and you're probably not converting or connecting as well as you could if you miss one of those elements. I think that I saw a great presentation by a guy named Joel Kletke, copywriter mm-hmm. In Canada. And Joel says to find out who the villain is and to find out what the emotional state is of the hero once the story is ended or once you get to resolution, that he interviews the end customer and uses their specific words, right? It's like, this used to be such a headache, like whatever the words are. I had paper everywhere, like these things, the villain or the conflict is sort of presumed by the marketer. Even if you get the conflict right, you may not get the words right, or you may not describe, the antagonist or describe the conflict well enough. Joel gets the specific words and in a way, lets the audience do the copywriting. It's sort of an interesting approach.
Yeah, it's awesome. He's a master of what he does. I think Joanna Wiebe falls into that category. She taught me and all of our listeners that you can extract sort of these, I guess, antagonistic ideas from what people say in social media and in Amazon reviews. And when they say, I like this book because it helped me with this, they're introducing the antagonist. But let's say that storytelling may not be necessary to have a great content marketing strategy and execution. And on the other hand, maybe there's something to be learned from the age-old elements of storytelling. What mm-hmm. if what if you didn't, you know, go all in? What if you just, you know, I hate to accuse you, Mr. Naysayer, of storytelling, of being a storyteller, but you are on stage a lot. You are telling stories, I think. Certainly great speakers do that. And what if, what, you know, I think it could be as simple as injecting yourself in the presentation you're giving, right? Like for instance, you often say, we used to sign up, we used to convert email subscribers at this pace or at this rate, and then we changed it, and now we do it this way. That's a little bit of a story.
Yeah, that's a pretty boring, that's a good bedtime story, because you're going to fall asleep as you listen to me talk about, you know, conversion rates. Okay, so I gave a presentation last week. I was in Toronto at Uberflip's Connex, and afterwards, and Anne Handley was right off stage and watched me present, and I came off stage and she gave me feedback. Wow, what an opportunity. Master storyteller, master presenter, expert content marketer giving me feedback on a presentation I just gave. And she said, yeah, you could inject yourself more. You could use more anecdotes. You could tell more stories. Here's where I think it's relevant. In the beginning, like we just said, you can frame things up. And this is true of presentations or true of any format for content. In the beginning, like a journalist, right? Kind of set it up a little bit like, yeah, I saw this, or yeah, that was hard, or I had frustration. And when I opened the email, like blah, 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 like you just first person maybe, or you're kind of like establishing a little personal tone in the beginning. And then you get into the teaching and like my articles to be longish and go detailed. But it's in the middle of a presentation or an article where it might get boring. Presentations are inherently weak in the center. And that's the point at which it's more effective to add. You can feel the energy of the room drain, right? And this could be true in video. It could be true in any format. That's the moment when you should get personal again. You know, play a video or turn off the screen for a second, right? Go to a black screen for a second, or change your tone of voice, maybe whisper, like bring it down a little bit and inject yourself, be a person again and tell a little story. So I'm always trying to improve, and I know where I need to get better. And this is one of the areas I've skewed too much toward substance and not enough style. And there's low energy in the middle of a lot of my presentations. And so I'm going to work on that by throwing in the personality and an anecdote in the middle.
Attaboy. Yeah. You give great presentations. I think people, the pain that they suffer when you're on stage is they can't write fast enough, or they don't know that, you know, it's going to be recorded, because you're giving them pretty extensive lessons, and every sentence is something that they need to go home and apply. But I think Anne was right, and Anne, you know, travels in the circles of the best speakers, and she probably has had speaking coaches in the past. Last time I saw Jay Baer, you know, and I'm ashamed to say that wasn't as recently as it should be, he was talking about his mom on stage, you know, and so a little bit of storytelling. And I think he probably doesn't go another 10 minutes with like sort of stepping outside of the how-to element of what he's got to teach, which is robust usually, and telling another story. It might be about his books or you know, his associations or his investments or convincing a bird or what have you. But yeah, you know, people like to hear about people. So I think there's a lot of ways to inject yourself. I'm thinking about one of my great blog posts is I was reading Joe Polizzi and on Content Marketing Institute talking about the power of teaching. And I was talking quite a bit to Marcus Sheridan at the time, who's, you know, perpetually talking about teaching. And I just sat there at the dinner table with my kids and said, tell me about your great teachers and how they differ from your crappy teachers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, yeah. That triggered an amazing conversation.
Yeah, they just like spilled it, you know, and they were content marketing lessons. They were like, well, then the best ones are funny. And I'm like, oh, funny. I better write that down. You know, funny's good, you know, certainly not new. they don't let you go to sleep. They ask you questions, you know, so the best ones are interactive. And they went on and on, and I went away with like five or six lessons about what makes for a great teacher according to like middle schoolers, you know.
Okay, I love it. Time out. What just happened? You gave a lesson about how to create better content, right? Be funny, you know, this basic lesson. But you just framed that. You took us to your dining room. We were sitting at the table. You're talking to your kids. You made that a story, That was much more interesting and engaging and visual. And, you know, I could be empathetic because the way that you just delivered that was more interesting than it would have been had it been four bullet points about how to. So that's a fun case study. It's the context, right? What you just did actually is a nice example of how that context just made it inherently more interesting by putting in three sentences at the front, two sentences at the back. You know, like it's, I think that's interesting what happened just now, because that's a fun example of how it doesn't maybe even take any longer, right, to make something into a tiny story format or to give it personality.
It's kind of my style for blog posts. Not always. You know, sometimes I say, you know, I think you have a problem and here's a list of solutions. But yeah, I think your idea, like you go, I got this idea this way and here we go. And then you wrap it up, you know, bring it full circle, kind of like a song or a poem. And so, so I do that. And that was a great example. And now let's segue to social media. Now, not every social media was made explicitly for storytelling, and not every social media makes it a welcome home for storytelling. You know, we decided we're going to talk about LinkedIn next, and you know, those are it's probably not perfect, but you know, look at the explosion of Instagram and Snapchat. These kids that are so enthusiastic about it, and I use the word kids rather loosely, it means they're younger than me, are telling stories, so much so that like the actual feature is called Stories, right? And that's what they want from each other.
Yeah. So in the next episode, we're going to do Instagram, but for now, it's perfect, right? This content, that feature in Instagram is called Stories. It's you're halfway there already when you're in social media, yeah, because the character is right there, right? It's a little circle head and a person, and there's the character and the way that and the context, right? These are people taking pictures of their personal lives, so you've got the setting. You know, the caption gives you just enough time to kind of frame it, right? I don't know that there's conflict or it doesn't necessarily rise to the criteria of a hero's journey or some kind of, you know, quest or before and after state or a resolution. But yeah, this is social content lends itself extremely well to a story. And part of the beauty there is that in social media, the resolution sometimes comes at the story continues on through the social content. So someone says, hey, I'm having a problem with X, or can you believe this spammy message I just got? And people post stuff like that, right? And then the comments are where the plot line unfolds a little bit. And if there's any resolution, you might be in the conversation there. But yeah, social media, of course, right? That's ripe for storytelling content, and also good for repurposing if you want to pull it out of there and put it into an article.
Yeah, one more thing before we wrap it up. Is the idea of companies, brands, big ones typically, that can't really create content about they're explicitly about their brand, you know, Red Bull, Whole Foods, Starbucks. And so what they can do is become media companies, as you know, Joe Polizzi and Robert Rose often talk about. And so you know, for convenience sake, I'll just go with Red Bull. Red Bull has all these properties and they have nothing to do with their product. They have everything to do with extreme sports. And the reason why they are such media stars is they've sort of become a media company by telling stories about sports.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's like you've said before, you can't just talk about sugary drinks. That's not going to connect with anybody. So give it characters, give it conflict. I think about all the marketing around pro sports that are around the Olympics, you know, that sort of all they do is pick characters and look for conflict, and like a little reality TV kind of production. They're probably amplifying the drama as much as they can, right? And like, you know, adding everything that it takes to give you an emotional response in, you know, 3.5 minutes.
Yeah, every night, every broadcast on the Olympics, which, you know, obviously isn't nightly, but and every broadcast on ESPN, which obviously is nightly, is here's the background, here's the, you know, here's how this athlete overcame the odds and stuff, and that's good stuff. All right, so let's give some of that cheese and mousetrap thing that we do at the conclusion of our programs.
Perfect. Kick us off with cheese, which is a general content/traffic building marketing tip. What do you think?
Yeah, it's not like we haven't covered this, but to reiterate and expand, if you indeed want to tell a story, and even if you don't want to technically introduce the once upon a times and the backgrounds and the fairy tales and the resolutions and the conflicts, you do introduce characters every time in every piece of content. And so broaden your definition of what that actually means and create a protagonist and an antagonist. Okay. And so an antagonist can simply be a problem, like we talked about, manually doing invoicing, like FreshBooks. Mm-hmm. And so the examples are endless, you know, for Feldman Creative, the problem might be you can't figure out, how to increase your conversion on your website, or how to offer lead magnets. For Orbit Media, it might be, you know, you can't figure out a infrastructure or an architecture that makes sense to build a killer website that's going to increase your sales. And so there's always a problem. And mm-hmm. so in a classic storytelling sense, now that, you know, a lot of what you and I do is for B2B companies, you simply need a good guy and a bad guy. And those are called protagonists and antagonists. And the more that you sort of twist the knife with the antagonist and create that nightmare that, you know, that what do they call that in classic copywriting lessons? They call that, I don't know, AIDA. Do you know what
mm-hmm. I mean? Awareness, interest, decision. This is the funnel, right?
Yeah. And so in the early stages of that, the awareness and interest is like, does it hurt? You know, is this your problem? And so that in and of itself is a little taste of storytelling, right? It's not the Hunger Games, you know, but in the Hunger Games, it's like this person has to fight for their life. You know, all right, we know the story. Well, you too mm-hmm. have to fight for your, you know, blank.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, for sure. Like I said, the wishy-washy content that makes it sound like the problem isn't that big. Amplify the difference between good and bad. Amplify the difference between before and after. You know, as they'd say, like the new bliss of having the product and the current horrible reality. Every brand, you got to be out there slaying dragons. You're making a huge difference for your audience. So yeah.
Yeah, well said. All right. So mousetraps are about conversion. You know anything about that?
Love this topic. I've got a challenge for all the listeners, and that is to inject characters and people into whether or not they're your stories, into your pages. Make a face, put a person on every page on your website. Make sure there is not a page anywhere on any of your URLs that doesn't have at least one person's face. Faces are unique in all human imagery. Infants look at faces more, gaze at human faces and images of faces and shapes that even look like faces more than anything else. So faces also give you the opportunity to be human, to be humble. Faces have the opportunity to get you to look at something else because the face, the direction the face is looking in draws an invisible arrow that naturally pulls the eye in that direction. So put them on, of course, your team pages, your bio pages. Make a page for every person so you can rank for each person's name. And never, I'm going to give this tip, never, never use a stock photo of a person.
Never, never?
Never.
If I scoured your website, would I wouldn't find one?
You might find some as featured blog images, but they wouldn't be facing the camera. They'd be in the background. It might be like a hand or something, but
yeah.
No, you're not going to find any, you know, ethnically ambiguous people pointing at laptops. Definitely not.
All right. We're here to put those companies out of business. That's bad stuff. But often, you know, I guess it's a different topic. That's a good topic, actually, like, you know, how to find the visuals that actually make sense for your website. But that's not what we're going to talk about next time. We've decided next time we're going to talk about LinkedIn. This is not a video program, but look at me, Andy. I'm wearing a LinkedIn shirt.
Yeah. That's nice. Good swag.
Jason Miller sent me that. So LinkedIn's changing. LinkedIn's crazy. LinkedIn's becoming the Spam-a-lot. You know, so Andy and I have some opinions about how to manage LinkedIn, and that's our next program.
Yeah, LinkedIn etiquette, maybe some general social media stuff, but mostly LinkedIn etiquette. And we're going to answer this question, or ask it at least. Who do you connect with on LinkedIn? It's an awesome topic, right? Everyone's got different opinions. Listen in and we'll dive deep. It's going to take a
little time. All right. Until next time. Always great talking to you, Andy.
Take care.